This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. By the Steve Foley Law Firm, injury justice for injury victims. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
It wasn't until I got to know Rob through this that I came to know and remember that he scored on his first shift. First game, first shift, playing for the Sabres in Pittsburgh. Lemieux was on the ice, maybe.
Coffee, Lemieux.
I'm just now realizing, maybe I've heard you say it, but now I'm going to remember that you also scored on your last shift.
Yeah,
did not know that too until
backhand
today.
Right off the faceoff
for Ottawa in Toronto.
In Toronto, come back to the bench. Never got another shift after. Never seen the light of day. It was over, right there.
This is 2004.
I just take my bag and came home. Yeah, 2004.
Spring of 04.
Were you, because you scored? Did you welcome not getting back on the ice again? Like realizing?
No,
like,
I didn't really.
I wanted to play
yeah? Because you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
You didn't want to score again.
There was too many games left in the season.
Okay.
So you to sit know. There and go, okay, this is perfect, man. I'm done. I don't care.
Okay.
No, there were a few games, yeah. And you wanted
okay.
to kind of.
All right.
I wasn't planning on being my last game.
Oh, I see. So. All right.
So I thought maybe I was going to play at least another one or
right,
two.
Right. Right. Because there's a nice synergy there,
yeah.
You know, with that,
but
as it turns out. But yeah,
then seeing a little different.
You weren't real okay. You weren't thinking like, okay, I'm all good. See
no.
you later. Yeah.
I could have said thank you, man.
Roll the credits.
We're done.
Isn't that great though? Everyone about Rob like to
that,
score, you
that
scored
time
on your
I had
first shift and last shift. It's great.
My sticks at that time, some of them had the final tour and some had the end on them instead of your name.
Yeah. Do you have any of those?
Yeah, I got them.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. The one that you gave me.
Farewell
like
tour, it said. 90... Farewell tour and
nice.
The end.
Who wrote it?
It comes on your sticks.
Yeah, they
instead
had it printed
name.
On there.
But,
yeah.
Like, did you order that?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. The one you gave me, like, whatever that was, 95 or 96 when we first met way back then, as Sugar Rayon.
Yeah.
Which I still.
Trainers used to
I just looked at it last
stuff,
night.
Yeah.
I was up in the attic fooling around with the guitars, and I have it sitting out there, and I'm like, Sugar Ray? There it is.
Yeah. You
know, now is as good a time as any. With it 2000s night, I tweeted this earlier today how there's a lot of nostalgia in the air about 506 and 607, and that's all well and good. I mean, those were teams that we've romanticized about and that fans will love forever. 2001 was also in that decade, and that was a good team, and you were on it.
Yep.
And I have a lot of great memories of that season. That was my first year back in town working, and you had, like, a few things. Like, you had Hasek, of course. That ends up being his last year with the Sabres. But one thing that's kind of funny almost about that, Rob, is that that team bulked up at the deadline. Gilmore was already on the team from the year before. And that's the year before is also the Dumont-Groshek trade.
Yeah.
But Andrechuk and Audette in 2001. And, like, let's go win. I mean, that was a Buffalo sports team that had been to the finals.
Steve Hines, too?
Steve Hines, Siplikoff. Like, it was let's go win. And, I mean, that's a long time ago. But that was a good team that got really close. How do you remember that season?
That year, I think that it was one that was, yeah, we had success, but I think there was a lot of that turmoil, but it was a lot of inside the room stuff, not with the players. It was more of the coach player thing, and it was a little separation, a little divide, a little bit there, and there was competition within, you know, whomever to get control of a room and all that kind of thing. So I think it was good because what it did is kind of drew the guys together because everybody knew that, you know, what was going on, and that those players that were trying to be separated from the group were so well respected that you just you couldn't but be supportive of them and kind of pull together on it. So, yeah, I think it was one of those times when you looked at some of those guys and at their end, and they were looking that they wanted to be successful, and they were kind of, you know, pushing everybody along the way because, you know, like say Dougie and Dave and that, when they were here, it was like they didn't know what was left. They didn't know what was in their future. They were always kind of pushing you, trying to make sure that, not overachieve, but push yourself every night to make sure you're ready to go.
Right, this could be it for us.
Yeah,
so,
it was more doing it for them because you wanted to make sure that they, if it was the end for them, that you wanted to go out in a positive way. So it was.
It turns out it wasn't even close to the end for either guy.
No, God, it wasn't. No, but at that time when they're here, they're on a fourth line, very used, and
right.
You know the way they were used here, you would have thought they'd been done for 3 years.
Right, Andrushuk wins the cup 3 years later. For God's sake.
So I look back, and these guys could have made such a bigger difference if they're allowed to. I think.
Think about how it really could have been or should have been Hasek playing against the Sabres in the playoffs in 06.
Yeah.
But he was injured, and it was Ray Emery.
Yeah, I remember you telling me and our audience about Lindy at one point saying about that team with Andrushuk and Gilmore and the roles they were in that he learned then, like, if you've got guys like that on the team, you got to feed them. Like, you got to let them have the role because otherwise you're sort of neutering their experience and their leadership.
And he didn't do that.
Right.
Because it was
a
little bit of a competition between them because he wanted to be the one in control of the room, and these guys were the ones that were actually in control of the room. And I've talked to him since, and he understood that, you know, maybe if you had to just sort of let back and let those guys, you know, hey, we got this under control, and just kind of, you know, coach it from the outside and let them, because of the stature they had and because of how well-respected, you know, those guys could have said, hey, go do this, and everybody would have went and did it type thing. So,
can I politely offer,
as
somebody that just sort of tries to make this point, I try to cram in this point about culture and sports because everybody's so obsessed with culture and sports. None of that is why or how this team lost. It went farther than most teams in Sabres history. It was one goal from the semis. And whatever was going on in this room, this politics and everything, really, what did it amount to? You guys were really should have probably beaten Pittsburgh.
Yep.
We're right there ready to do it and play a Jersey team. I looked this up today. I remembered that the Sabres had swept Jersey that year. But I looked up today because I thought the goals might be a better story. They outscored the Devils in those four games 15-3. And like, okay, well, you guys might have had a lot. It sounds like it was a complicated year for you and for the players. But it was also this close from glory.
Yeah, I think you could look back and have a few of those years. Maybe the success we had against New Jersey that year is because Dave and Doug were both part of New Jersey. And that was the year that when Rhett and I got the call in the middle of the night to get Owen, leave the hotel and go down the street to this bar where Doug and Andy were and with the trainers in New Jersey, and we had to carry them, like literally carry them back into the hotel and sneak them in the back, and the two of them could hardly keep their heads up. They were falling all over the place. Rhett and I get them back to the hotel. That next night we play in New Jersey. We won like 3-2, and they both ended up being stars, and I think one of them had 2 points and one of them had a goal. It's just that's the way it was.
No, that's a different point I could make.
Yeah, see, just bringing another side of it out.
Because if they scored and you won, what's the problem? I mean, what's the problem with all that politics?
No,
I don't know if my point really got through, but
yeah, it did.
Some of these teams, they get along great, and they're just losers, and people will remember how much fun they had. Other teams are just like more like that, maybe, what you're describing. The specter of Pekka being out that entire year might have meant a lot. I mean, I know how Dom reacted to that in the end, and that would have been a complicated issue for players.
I remember, I mean, there was a point where it became obvious he wasn't coming, right? But, like, for you, you talk about, how, you know, that it was a complicated year. But that would have been a part of it, right? Where you guys maybe, like, you get to October, like he holds out through the summer, and it's, you know, training camp. Like, okay, well, you know, maybe he'll show up. Oh, well, maybe by Halloween, maybe by Thanksgiving, maybe by the All-Star
break. And then it got to the point, too, where it was like you would have Darcy, whomever, hey, why don't you tell your boy to, you know, realize what he's doing? Why don't you tell your boy, and start that kind of thing within the room as well.
Using the other players to work on him?
Right. Hey, we need you. Come on. Yeah.
Well, that didn't work.
No. Well, hey, Michael's when he stuck to his guns and he did what he felt was right for Michael, and you got to respect that.
Did you see playoff action that year? Probably did. The Flyer series? Yeah, you probably played a lot.
I don't know.
You don't know. Pittsburgh, Philly, Pittsburgh? All right. Who's the guy? Who's the guy, Bulldog, in 01 in that 8-0?
Fedoric.
Todd Fedoric.
Todd Fedoric.
Is that you?
That's Rip. Right? Isn't that at the bench? Like, Fedoric ends up at your bench trying to start something, and doesn't Rip take – Rip Simonic takes a couple of shots at him.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
It's the what did they call it? I think Rip was asked about it and called it the – yeah, I gave him the first ward whip. Or something. You don't remember this?
No, I
yeah.
don't.
No, that's that. That is that.
8-0 game.
Focused on what I was doing. Yeah. Instead of
8-0 clincher.
Yeah. The friggin' yeah. whatever it was called.
The first ward whip.
First ward whip.
Yeah.
I have to ask him about that one.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about? I mean, I don't know. This is just me saying it like everybody would think it, which I don't mean. 05-06, more so even than 06-07, is a team that is just glorified. You know, and it was close.
It was close. But still, it's, you know, I look at it, hey, they did a fantastic job, don't get me wrong. But it's still, everybody talks about, oh, the 05-06 team or whatever. And it's like how great they were. And I was like, okay, but they didn't get there. You know, they didn't get over that hump. They,
right.
You know, I was like, that's fine. Then what category do you to put in the 98 team and the 99 team? And,
right.
You know, that, you know, make it to the conference final and, you know, one moves
that's
on,
right.
The other
yeah.
you don't. And I'm like. Sometimes it's a little frustrating that way because they put so much emphasis on the 05-06. And I'm like, well, yeah, but, yeah, they made it a conference, but that's as far as they made it.
Yeah, we were in the finals.
Yeah.
Right, in 99. You're, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah.
So it's, I don't know.
It's
it was
really,
a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting there. Yeah. And I really don't care.
No, but you resent it a little bit. You resent the attention.
You know what,
get.
That year,
right?
When they were playing Carolina, it was, I was in Alaska during that round because we didn't cover it anymore and we left. And I was actually sitting on this little log cabin bar thing on the Kenai River that we had drifted down through, and you'd stop, and they had a satellite dish. So I was able to watch the game sitting in this barber chair on the deck of this little tiny, probably 30, 40 square foot building along the Kenai. It was great.
That's
it was
good.
One of the most amazing experiences ever.
Game 7?
Yep. Sitting there just watching it. All right, how you doing?
Nice. That whole thing, I mean, I know it's about the 2000s tonight, but 97 is a division win,
yep.
with Ted Nolan, and you got and then you beat Ottawa, so you win a round. 98, of course, Nolan's gone, and it's a big controversy, but Lindy's here, and that's conference finals.
Yep.
99 is the finals. 2000 is first round and out. That was tough, but 2001 then is where we started all this with that Penguin series, so you win a round that year. And then, you know, it's dark for a little while there in bankruptcy, but even it's not that long before you're in the conference finals 2 years in a row again. I mean, I know you're not here for it, but that's a great stretch.
It's a great stretch. And, I mean, and you think about the times when it was so dark and you know, having 7,000 or 8,000 people in the building,
yeah.
and how bad it really got there for a while at that stretch, and to be able to pop out of that after the lockout the yeah. way they did, whether it was 100% planned or they got – very lucky on some of the deals they made that came through, then it was you were, there was no downtime, there was no rebuild, there was no nothing like that. Bang, stepped right into it and kept it going.
Yeah,
it was. And then you look at the end of that, and that's kind of where all the problems kind of started, because you started losing a lot of those players and got nothing for it in return, and then you just dug yourself a hole, and you really have not been able to get out of that hole since.
Pretty much
no,
that's right.
Nothing for Berry. Nothing that, for, you know, Briere. Not, you know, nothing in return for guys that played such big roles for a long time that you didn't get it.
Yeah, we were still dealing with money then. Like, money was the main problem.
Oh, yeah.
At least in terms of how it was presented. And now, I don't know. I don't really want to get into it, but we're kind of supposed to think that it wasn't a problem anymore, you know,
right? And, spending, right?
And they obviously right. have spent on payroll and facilities and such, but is it really like you got anybody, like, is it really just like no issue anymore? I don't know.
It sure doesn't seem like it. I mean, they're spending every dime they can on hockey players. Yeah,
well, they're spending their cap, they're there, they're, you know, doing what you got to do. It's just some moves that you've been kind of, you know, put in that you can't get out of, and it's eventually going to work its way through. And then B, some guys that are getting high dollars that aren't coming through. So yeah, it's that's the problem with it. Everything's got to match. It's everything's got to be in sync. You have to just the moon's got to be lined up there that 1 year just to give yourself that chance. Unless you're over the top, so talented that you're going to get by with it. So there's so many variables that if it doesn't happen and they don't all work, then you know, it doesn't matter what you do.
I agree with that. I mean, look at Tampa last year. That was an all-time great team. Yes. And they went out in four games in the first round.
Right. Against
Columbus, right.
Yeah. You know, like even like say in 99, our power play was awesome in the uh-huh. playoffs. It wasn't that great all year.
Right.
But it just came together and bang, it just started. And that won us a ton of hockey games.
Oh, those 2 years, it got cold in the series you lost.
Yeah.
Like, it got cold against Washington and you lost, and it got cold in the finals and you lost. You know, I mean, that really.
Why are you laughing at that?
Because it's just such.
That's what I was thinking.
It's such
kind
a,
of a dick move, wasn't it? In the finals and you
well,
lost.
Well, no, it's just such a. It's such a silly thing to have, like.
It's random.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I'm laughing.
It is so random. And I think everybody, oh, yeah, you built a. It can happen to anybody. And look at the teams that have won. They got some very lucky, and last year you get a hot goaltender, you get a team going. There's so many things that could make such a big difference that it has to all be together.
Right.
And it's not going to work.
Right. I think it's funny that, like, we try to, like, almost to Mike's point, like, I'm big on culture and the room and everybody, right, being together. But if a power play's hot, you're probably going to win.
Yep.
And, you know, for all the ways you try to break it down and put it together and the matchups, and I need someone at the trade deadline that's big and tough and has won and all this stuff, yeah, just score a couple power play goals a game, you are cruising in the playoffs. That's
yep.
To me, that's funny that we invest all this time and energy and analysis, and it's something so basic.
I again, politely propose that you not bother doing it because it is so random. That's goaltending for me 100% of the time. That's power play for me 100% of the time. Go ahead. Try to figure it out. I'm not going to bother. Go ahead. Try to figure it out. Be good enough in terms of your how you carry play over 82 games, then you're going to be in the playoffs, probably. And from there, cross your fingers.
That's all you can do.
I mean, Pekka in 01, everybody would acknowledge his value as a player. What are you going to tell me? That they would have scored one more goal in one series had he been, like, maybe. They might have had a better chance of doing that than without, but they did smoke Philadelphia, go 7 with Mario's team anyway.
Yeah.
So, it's good luck trying to figure
right,
that
you've
stuff
got a,
out.
You've got a puck floating in the sky to Hasek's left that Warner can't find.
One and person could find
and,
it.
Right, and like that, and that, and that's with like a minute?
A little more.
In a, yeah. A little more than a minute in a clinching game.
He's around. He's around, right, Warner?
Yeah, he's here. He texts me this afternoon. He says, pick me up for the game. I'm like, I leave at 2. Well, you're going to have to leave. Wait later. I go, I'm not waiting to later to come down here. Well, forget it then. I'll get another ride. It was like I did something wrong. Such a dork.
Yeah, I hope he finds his way down here, Rob.
I mean,
it would
be
terrible. You think he'll figure out Uber or some other way of getting what
well,
he
needs? Well, he stays at the in-laws out there, so it's out by our house.
Oh,
so
right,
not,
okay.
Yeah, so he's not.
Right.
All right, well, hopefully tonight's cool for him and those other guys.
It should be a good night. Just another good time seeing a bunch of them out there. I know if the fans not, at least they like to getting together, so it's nice to see them all.
Thank you, Rob.
No, thank you, guys.
All right, Rob's appearance here brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life go forth to Firth, and by the Steve Foley Law Firm, Injury Justice for Injury Victims.
Valentine's Day is tomorrow, but it's not too late to purchase a gift card from the Woodhouse. It's even now 4:30 in the afternoon. It's still not too late. One way you can do this is to go to their website, buffalo.woodhousespas.com, and you can purchase a principal gift card online for that last-minute perfect Valentine's Day gift. You can print it right out at home and have it for your wife, your girlfriend, your mom, whatever the case may be, tomorrow. The Woodhouse is a high-end facility, Main Street in Williamsville, all the services that you'd expect from a high-end spa, massages, pedicures, facials, and much more. Go to buffalo.woodhousespas.com, and again, you can purchase a printable gift card for tomorrow in time for Valentine's Day. Also, give them a call to book, 458-5700. The Woodhouse right across from Williamsville South High School on Main Street. The Woodhouse Day Spa, Main Street, Williamsville.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Trying to block the J.P. Dumont out of poke it back to Hosh. Cleared around by Barnes. And out of the zone on a bounce, J.P. Dumont. Bob Bugner ties him up, make sure he can't get to it. Still loose. Barnes scores! Buffalo 3, Pittsburgh 2!
2001, Game 5, second round. Sabres over the Penguins in overtime. Gary Thorne on ABC. For that broadcast.
To risk getting the Steve Buscemi meme, you know, how are you doing, fellow kids? I'll just say I think they call that bar down is what that is. That's Barnes. You hear the ping before you even – it's. I just love that highlight. That's the one I was thinking of that I mentioned before Rob came over. I just adore that highlight.
But, by the way, bar down is a little bit on the way out. Top cheddar is what the kids are saying.
thank you for that, Joe. Thank you.
Yes. How did cheddar get involved? Why cheddar?
I don't – can't help you. Ask Owen.
You know, that series, those games, I was in the press box for those games. That was my first year back, and I remember watching – it's the Brown overtime goal. Andy Delmore won a game for Philadelphia. He came – didn't he come to play for the Sabres?
Yes, he did.
With a shot from the blue line in game three, and then it was Curtis Brown's overtime goal where he came all the way around the net in game four. Then the Pittsburgh games, they lost the first two games at home and still got in position to win that series. And I'm in the press box for all of that. So it's been a long time since I've been up there, but I have this sort of the memories of seeing those goals from up high. And, the Brown goal is cool in that way. And Barnes, I'm on the right end, the other goal line for that, and Barnes is down there. Uh-huh. But it's still from, top of the circle, the slot.
Yeah, yeah.
And, just the way that everybody knows this. Or you don't if you're under a certain age, 16 or something. Everybody knows how an overtime goal
Right.
It's like a bomb going off or something. The place goes from
silent
to it explodes. And those plays, you just never forget them.
No, it's obviously it's great at home, and you get that celebration and all that. But Pekka in Montreal to win that series in '98 is off the bar, and you can hear it, and it's silence because it's in Montreal, and it's just that's great too. You can hear the play. You hear the bar.
You hear the players.
Right. You hear the players whooping and hollering, and you know it's in Montreal, and it is just, is that ever delicious.
That's the Drury goal, too. The Drury goal, you hear the Sabres players in Pominville.
Yeah.
In Ottawa. You hear the players react to that in the background there.
Yeah, I love that. Overtime winners in the playoffs anywhere are fantastic, even Ennis in Philadelphia in game 5, I think that is, right? And they lose game 6 and 7.
Last playoff win.
That is, I mean, those are great. Those are great moments.
Is it Mike Weber who takes the shot
yep.
from the blue line, and Ennis puts the rebound in
yep.
on that one?
All right. Yep.
Joe, you wouldn't remember 0-1, right?
Very vaguely. There's like a couple of distant memories that I have, but nothing really that specific. No.
What are they?
I have a memory of some Dominic Hasek save where he. Or is it even Dominic Hasek? I have someone making like a stack the pad save because that apparently led to me getting goalie pads as like a 5-year-old. And I have some memory of Chetan scoring and like it hitting a post. And the very vague, though. So that's all I really got for you.
You know, Chetan gets away from me. Not 99 is a big Chetan year, right? The finals team. It's the Ottawa series, the first game, that game one in Ottawa en route to the finals. The Sabres are on the road, and he scores in overtime or double overtime to win that game, like the Boston series. There's Chetan memories. By 0-1, he's still on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the team all the way, you know, past that. But I think of other players for 0-1. I'm really enjoying thinking about 2001 today. It's very
yeah.
interesting to me
yeah.
how difficult it was for Rob.
Yeah.
And 0-6. Like, he's resentful about 06.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And 01, like, he's on that team. I looked up his game logs, and he only played a little bit in the playoffs that year. But the thing he brought up about that season is, like, Lindy and clicks or something maybe going on, what he was describing in the locker room. And, you know, I just want to say again, like, the culture stuff in sports, everybody gets – I mean, who wouldn't get this? I make my argument, and then somebody will tell me something that I just like. It's so obvious. I know. Who wouldn't rather have your team be united in certain ways? Football, hockey, doesn't matter. Nobody's going to tell you that that discord is better. Mm-hmm. I just think you really need to be able to compare to the extent that you know whether a team is relatively united or not, whatever. Like, you still, like, it's fluid and it's a lot of people and most of it doesn't go public and it's really hard to know that. Anyway.
Right, yeah, I think we rarely know. Really.
But if you know anything about that, certain teams gain reputations for one or the other, then you'd want to consider what happened to that team. And if culture is a thing, like, well, just tell me how it mattered and helped. And what you get is the same thing like a lot of other things in sports where you only have that conversation or hear anybody mention it if it's one way. And that's if a team is considered to be unified and does well, then it's, guys, here's why. It's never any other way. So you've got this point you bring up about Gilmore and Andrechuk and like Rob struggling with the memory of it because he remembers players kind of maybe getting after each other or the coach relationship not being the best and Regeer asking players, according to Rob, to lobby Pekka and everything.
Right.
What? How did it end up? I mean, it ended up as a team that won a round decisively, smoking a bitter rival in a close series to advance. And then the Penguins, I mean, are you going to say when you lose in overtime of Game 7, are you going to say like they were in a bad mood? I mean, really, what you had was a team that I guess had stuff, but when they just went, they went and played.
Right. You know, to me, it's quite possible that all of I obviously believe Rob and his recollections about how that year was, but I would bet, however divisive certain guys may have been, or however I don't know, miscast a guy like Andrechuk or Doug Gilmore or other veterans on the team might have felt like they weren't being used like they're used to being used or whatever. By the time the playoffs get here, like, you're in the playoffs. And it's just, I would think a lot of that just gets kind of, all right, Peck is not coming. Let's go. You know, we got to go play now. And you kind of put that aside. I mean, I don't know. That might be a little hokey. Maybe it's a lot hokey. I don't know.
I think it's exactly what happens.
I would think you just sort of go, all right, we got to go win some hockey games now.
I think it's what happens in the regular season, too, when it's your job. You know, like, there might be times when that varies
yeah.
a little bit, but, like, Andrechuk was only on that team for whatever, like a month or something.
Yeah.
before the playoffs started, and then you go to work. So it just needs to be pointed out, because it will only ever gets pointed out when it's the other way.
Yeah.
And that team, I guess the story of that team is supposed to be conflict. And they did great. They were a top, they were on home ice in the first round. 98, 99, 2000, they were never home ice in the first round.
No, that's
they,
right.
They were never good enough to be a top four team, right, in the
they
conference.
They were a 7 or 8 seed, yeah.
Yeah, like 2001 well, was a better regular season team. 97 was.
97, they won.
97 won a division.
Right, right.
98, 99, 2000, they were never top four.
No.
2001 was top four. I mean, that was a better team over 6 months, at least by that. I don't know, points.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, too, about 2006, like, How much different are those two teams, 01 and 06? 2006, you know how many points they had? 506? Now, that starts, they were like 9-9 or something that year.
No, they didn't really get hot until like Christmas time, I think.
You know how many points? They did not win the division either.
I don't know. I'm going to guess 94.
110.
Oh, my God.
Right, Joe?
Oh, my God.
506.
I would have guessed like 95, too. So
they had 110 points.
Well, that's when the 3 seed oftentimes was lower than the 4, though, right? Because of the division
Atlanta.
Leaders being the top 3.
Right. I mean, you had 3 divisions. It when like the team that won right. the division under Nolan, it would have been 2 divisions, and I don't know about after that.
But so what? Ottawa won the division that year.
113.
Okay.
Carolina 112.
That's insane.
Buffalo 110. Philadelphia 101.
Wow.
Jersey 101. Rangers 100. They went and beat Atlanta. Then the Flyers would have played Jersey, I guess. I'm losing.
The Devils were the 3 seed, and they only had 101 points.
Yeah, where am I getting Atlanta here? Atlanta's wrong. That's the next year. Sorry.
Okay.
Atlanta's the next year.
Yeah, so it was Ottawa 1 at 113, Carolina at 112, New Jersey at 101, but they were the 3 seed because they won their division, then the Sabres at 110, and then Philly at 101.
It's all interesting that Hockey Reference puts the Flyers above the Devils. That's not what they should do then. Then Rangers at 106. And then seven is Montreal. Oh, you remember the end of that, or is that the next year? 7 is Montreal, and 8 is Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, Bulldog, 607, the next year is who will be the 8 seed? And it's Montreal and Toronto. Mm-hmm. In Toronto, like the last night, the Saturday night, and then Sunday is the Islanders.
Right, and that game goes to a shootout.
And the Islanders get it. Right, and it could have been the Canadiens or the Leafs.
Right.
But I think they both miss.
Yep.
And the Islanders take that spot. Like, all I remember caring about is the Sabres winning. But holy cow, if that would have been Toronto in the first round,
right.
That would have been super
I remember
hot.
Watching, standing in my kitchen.
That game?
Watching the shootout in that Islander game for them to get in.
The Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Is that Philadelphia?
I don't remember the
Jersey?
Opponent. I just remember watching... That like knowing what was hanging in the balance, and for some reason I was cooking. Well, I don't know. I just remember being standing at my kitchen table, like staring at that.
Do you remember the night the Canadiens Leafs game the night before?
I do.
Like just a super crazy, fun, wild, close game, Canadiens and Leafs, and somehow the result left the door open for the Islanders.
Yeah. I have in my head that that's like a 6-5 game or something. But
something 5-4 or 6-5 would be my guess.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah. All right. I guess I remember that. At least we're having the same memory anyway.
Boy, how long ago does it seem where you cared about another game like that?
I know.
Just with the Sabres like being the reason.
Yeah.
803-0550. It's 2000s night in the arena tonight. And the Sabres will host Columbus. Carter Hutton in goal. Olofsson and Oposo due back. Lines open. You want to reminisce with us? Jeremy had a great line of thinking, I thought, about the decade and Sabres history that we'll get to as well. Mention that after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog from 716. This is WGR. My wedding song.
There we are. Pair of tickets right now. Two pair, actually, to go see Megadeth and Lamb of God. Friday, June 26th at Darien Lake Amphitheater. Minimum value of this prize is $60, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. These tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. LiveNation.com. 644-9878. Callers 5 and 6 will win them. This is your running song, did you
wedding
say?
Wedding song.
Wedding song. Okay.
Yeah, and my running song.
Sorry, I was like...
It's both.
I don't remember this from your wedding. I was there. Maybe I was watching baseball.
Must have just slipped by you.
Yeah.
I like this Anthony Lynn comment about Tyrod Taylor today. Don't ever stop playing the opposite game. Listen to a sports quote. Ask yourself what the opposite would sound like. If it would sound preposterous, totally dismiss the quote. Pretend that you never heard it. And shame people who repeated it. Anthony Lynn on Tyrod Taylor, Joe says, he could be the starting quarterback. Imagine if Anthony Lynn had said, nope.
No chance.
He will not be the starting quarterback.
He's here. We want him to keep working all offseason toward an opportunity to help us, but he's probably not going to play.
Yeah, imagine, right? Like, of course he wouldn't say that. Now, last I looked, this came out from Bet Online last week. They had odds on who will be the Chargers' starting quarterback whenever it was announced that officially that Rivers would not be there. Taylor was the first choice because he's on the team.
Yeah.
If it's not Taylor, who would be the second choice? I don't have it. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's Brady. Maybe he would be the second likeliest person to start week one.
I got to look at my chart from yesterday with Sal. I think that's what I think. I have Brady there. I got Brady to the Chargers. That's where I ended up because I think I left Derek Carr in Oakland. So Brady to the Chargers is my pick. I don't know what the odds are on that. I'm not gambling on it, but it's out there. I'm on the record as saying that Brady's gonna, because you know, I got to take that really seriously. There's no backing away from it now.
I just don't want to be completely let down by this.
I know.
Next month plus. No. Next 6 weeks. Like, it has potential to be awesome.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford is reported to be available, and then the Lions get to work, and, like, he is totally not available. As people were saying, he would cost them $32 million of cap room if they were to trade him. Right. So, all right, we learned a lesson here. Let's not assume a lot.
Right, but part of the reason I wanted to do that with Sal yesterday – not that I wouldn't have done it with you, and we could do it again. I mean, whatever. We're going to talk about this for as long as it's viable, you know, as long as guys haven't decided where they're going. When I wrote down all the teams and the like guys that were obviously going to be where they're going to be, there were still like 11 teams that you're like, I don't know for sure what's going to happen there. I mean, that is a lot. For one off season, that's a lot. So, like, even if only half of those guys switch places, that's significant, provided it's Rivers and Brady and, like, I don't know who else. Really, those are the two top names.
Tennessee is a very interesting place to start for this because they could just sign Ryan Tannehill for 3 years or something, and he's the quarterback, and that's the end of that. Mariota comes free, but that's the end of that. If they don't, it's wide open. That's a team that went to the AFC Championship. They have good players. They could keep Derrick Henry. People in the league would probably think that they, you know, should do that. A lot of people out here would say they shouldn't, but whatever it is, you're going to pay him. I'm thinking of a scenario where they choose not to pay Tannehill and they do pay Derrick Henry. So you're going to have, you know, you've got young players there. You've got A.J. Brown. You're going to have the look of something, and it could be appealing to Brady in the Vrabel sense. It could be appealing to Rivers as it's near home. You could have a lot of possibilities there for a team that did well this year if they decide not to go with Tannehill. I don't think they would go with Mariota. So if you have that, that could kick it up. Maybe one of these teams like Tennessee, hypothetically, is a team where Brady would go. But if it's not going to be available, you're never going to hear about it. I mean, he's never going to, like,
right.
allow himself to be turned down somewhere like that.
Right.
It's just
right. Yeah.
But those wheels may all be turning, and if Brady is willing to leave, then I don't know. Like, that's a team where it could be conceivable that they would sign him.
Yeah.
But what do they think Tannehill is really worth after this season is a really big question. 803-0550, our number. We're going to do some more reminiscing about the 2000s Sabres, the 01 team, 0506, 0607, of course. That's coming up. You can join us with lines open now. We're at 716, of course, with the Sabres home tonight, and they'll face Columbus pregame at 6 and face off at 7:05. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.